Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers.
I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers, watch it work.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of Birds at the Rodeo. I'm Eric, the resident Eagles fan.
I'm Orlando, the resident Cowboys fan.
And before we even get into the football side of things, you know, Lando came over, he walked in, and the first thing he said to me was, I'm so sorry. And he's sorry because, as many of you know, I was planning to go to Camp Flognog. This past weekend, I flew out last Thursday. We are recording on a Wednesday the 19th. And for those of you that don't know, Camp Flognog got postponed due to inclement weather. And so I did not get to experience Camp Flognog.
Yeah, it sucks that you had to experience that. But yeah. Like you said, the first thing I said was, I'm sorry. But the very next thing I said was props to you for just you're not letting it just like hold you down. Like I know like it was that sucks a lot. It stings. But his entire mentality this entire time going for since it happened was I'll be back next year. The Camp Florida is gonna see me. Los Angeles is gonna see me.
Yep.
The plan like you said, it wasn't that it got canceled, it just got postponed.
Yes.
So I mean, like, yeah, I am very sorry that happened, but that sucks a lot.
It does, and look, to all my fellow Thai followers, man, for those of you who get to experience it this upcoming weekend, shout out to all of you. All I ask is that Childish Gambino holds off his retirement for one more year, and I hope he runs it back next year when I'm there. But as Lando said, man, I will be back next year, circa 2026. Flognog will see me. It'll be clear, sunny skies, and nothing but joyous times ahead, all right? It stings. It sucks. The trip was a bust. Like, it is what it is. But as I told Lando, I met some cool people, man. Shout out to Dev, Jordan, Ayana, Andrew, Braden. I met Braden at the airport yesterday. Shout out to all you folks, man. I'm going to see y'all next year. We're going to run it back next year, and it's going to be a blast.
I mean, you said you got to do some things while you were out there.
I did, yeah. I was able to go to Amoeba Music. I was able to get Thriller, Michael Jackson Thriller, the vinyl. My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, the vinyl. Anybody who knows me knows that's my favorite album of all time. And I was able to get the deluxe version, thank God.
If you ask me, Thriller is the greatest album of all time.
You might be right. You know what? It's in the rapping, it said, like, you know, the second highest selling album of all time.
Behind what?
I don't know. I've been meaning to look it up. I need to look it up. I'm very curious to see what out sold. Are you going to look it up? Yeah, because I'm very curious. I've been meaning to look that up, but I haven't had a chance to yet. Yeah, man, I was able to do that. I was able to go to the Santa Monica Pier Monday. That was fun. I got this bracelet. I got my nephew a necklace. I got some goodies out there. What else did I do? I went to the Academy Museum of Motion Pictures. That was cool. That was fun. Went to the Walk of Fame. That was cool. So yeah, I did some cool things. Like I said, met some cool folks. But all in all, the trip was a bust because we all know why I was out there in the first place. I was out there to experience Camp Flognog, but that didn't happen. But it will next year. It is what it is. We move on. We move forward. And Lando, you got that answer yet?
Hold on.
He's still looking it up. He's still.
Let me just.
We're gonna get to football. I promise y'all. We're gonna get to sport. Sure. We're coming. Just
apparently, because apparently it's Thriller.
It's the number one selling.
The according to this, it went out because at first I tried to.
It said the number two.
I just looked it up just to see if I could figure out if just to see if it said it, and then I just it was saying it was like on Thriller's Wikipedia and everything, and then I just straight up Googled highest selling album of all time.
And it says Thriller.
Michael Jackson's Thriller.
Oh, well then maybe
worldwide sales estimated over 70 million copies.
Well then maybe the packaging stood corrected then.
Hold on, let me see. Second highest.
I mean, Thriller is
maybe that was at the time of maybe it's the highest selling now.
Probably, yeah, maybe right. Maybe,
that I mean, record, specific record was produced.
Right, right. Yeah, because I mean, I was kind of shocked when it said second. I'm not going to lie. I thought I had seen somewhere that Thriller was the highest selling album ever. I mean, look, for those of you that haven't peeped Thriller yet.
Oh, yeah, it's actually not even close.
The Thriller?
Thriller's number one with 70 million. And then
what's number two?
AC/DC's Back in Black with 50.
He said it's not even close. Okay, yeah,
20
wow.
million. That's
no, that, yeah, yeah, yeah. But shout out to AC/DC, man. I mean, shoot, that makes me think I have to check out that album. I don't even listen to AC/DC like that. But if you got that many sales, I feel like I have to check it out. I got to do my due diligence on that.
Shout out my girl.
Ooh.
Oh, I love this woman so much. Whitney Houston.
Oh, okay.
The Bodyguard.
She's third. Rest in peace, Whitney Houston, man.
Rest in peace. Pink Floyd, fourth with 29 for Whitney, 25 for the.
Who's five?
I'll just do the.
I'm curious who rounds out the list.
Well, I guess we can do the five and six is the same guys. How convenient for the. We'll call that a segue. The Eagles. With the
the Eagles have the six or five and six spot.
Yeah,
wow.
Hotel California at six.
Oh yes, yes, yes.
Their entire greatest hits catalog as number five.
Hotel California is one of my favorite songs ever. I just great song. I need to listen to those projects too. Okay, but yeah, like Lando said, that's a great segue as we transition into talking about Sunday Night Football. Eagles got the win, and the stars of the game, Jordan Davis, Jalen Carter, Jalen Phillips, Murrow Ojomo, everybody who plays on the Eagles defensive line, they are the stars of the game. They set the tempo. They set the tone early. And we didn't let Jared Goff get comfortable at all. Quinyon Mitchell, Adoree Jackson, Cooper DeJean, they absolutely locked up. Amon-Ra St. Brown and company. I know Jamison Williams had that one play, but aside from that, we locked him up.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Vic Fangio and everybody on the defensive side of the ball, man. They played a hell of a game. I don't even need to get into it. Everybody watched it. We had five batted passes. Jordan Davis was NFC Defensive Player of the Week. And everybody on that side of the ball, man, they played lights out.
Yeah, for sure.
They played lights out, man.
I watched the first half.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, that was pretty much the entire game.
Yeah.
If it was indicative of the first half,
yeah.
Like you said, they're flying around, getting the Jared Goff, putting him under duress.
Yep.
Not even giving Amon-Ra a real chance.
Sticky in coverage.
Not really allowing them to establish the dominant run game that they're used to having.
Nope.
I mean,
N'Kobe Dean was out here running side to side with Jameer and I can't remember. He was with a receiver too, but N'Kobe Dean's out here making plays. We defensively phenomenal game. Like I firmly believe I think we have a championship level defense right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't even want to talk about that, man. I I'm conflicted, right? Because I'm still not satisfied in the slightest with what I'm seeing on offense. Right. Yeah. AJ got more targets, whatever. And I wasn't even planning on really talking about him because, there's new reports coming out about people not happy with Jalen and all this and that. I'll get to that in a second. Let me just say this for all of you out here, the national media, the Philly media, for all of you out here that are sitting here telling me AJ Brown is a diva. Did you watch that game? You still telling me he's a diva? Because literally everything he said was right.
Yeah.
Literally everything.
Yeah, I've always subscribed to if a receiver is, people are all like, oh my God, they're winning. Who cares?
Yes.
they're winning because of the, almost like in spite of the offense.
He literally said that our defense is putting a Band-Aid on a bad offense.
Right.
And they've been doing that majority of this season, and they were doing it halfway through last season. The defense has been carrying us. He said, I just want to contribute. And he said it for as great as, and he even said it for as great as, you know, we know we are, and as people think we are, we should be doing more.
And I don't get why.
That's perceived as a diva?
No, why the, just the overall, like they look at wanting to contribute to you, like wanting to, like, they always, because I see when Eagles fans are the ones that are kind of criticizing with it, when people are going saying like AJ's right and everything, people are like, oh my, who cares, we're winning. And it's just like, if it doesn't have to be either or, you can produce
two things can be right.
You can produce offensively and still win games. Like it's being a high powered offense and throwing the ball downfield, getting receivers involved, being able to run the ball, that doesn't come in spite of winning.
Yes.
Like, I don't understand that.
Exactly. Like, here's the thing.
It took me a while to say that.
No, you're good. You're good. Two things can be true, right? Like, two things can be true. Our offense has not been good all season.
Right.
A.J. Brown, I keep seeing everybody on ESPN, Fox, everybody's saying he's a top five receiver. So if you know he's a top five receiver, if he knows he's a top five receiver, why is it that he is 51st in receiving yards?
Yeah.
And then you got on the other side, you got Devontae Smith. He's top five in receiving yards right now, right? I mean, dude, like, it just doesn't make sense. When we have two number one wide receivers, it doesn't make sense how you are not getting them involved more. And it's crazy because I saw it a little bit. We moved A.J. Brown a little bit. Like, we moved him finally. Yes. It only took 11 games into the season.
Right.
I hate that, man. I hate the narrative that keeps getting pushed out here. Like, A.J.'s complaining and all this. Is he complaining or is he being right? You just don't like that. It's coming from him. Because if Jalen Hurts was saying all this, nobody would have a problem with it.
Right.
If Jalen Hurts was saying this, nobody would have a problem with it. If Saquon Barkley was saying it, nobody would have a problem with it.
I don't know. Because I feel like even if Devontae was saying that, they wouldn't really much have a problem.
See, that's the thing, though, because Devontae would never say that. He'll say, like, you know, like, yeah, like, we got to improve on a lot of things, but he'll never flat out. And, again, most of this stem from recently with A.J. Brown is because of the Twitch, you know, the stream and everything.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's like, bro, I'm not mad at him for saying that. Now, I can see how, if you're a Howie Roseman or a Nick Sirianni, like, you're like, okay, like.
For those watching, he was on a Twitch stream.
Yes.
Just like with one of the
Edge. Upgrade your tool storage for the new year with help from Menards. For heavy-duty storage that protects your tools, choose MasterForce. From shelving units to cabinets and so much more, you can keep your tools safe and within reach. Get versatile and durable storage from MasterForce today. Check out all our MasterForce storage in-store or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
He was just shooting the, you know, the sticks.
Talking, and he said basically, like, if you have me in fantasy,
don't play me.
Yeah,
don't play me.
He's not being fantasy wise. He's not producing.
No, homie asked him, like, you know, are you good? And he was like, I mean, no. Like, aren't you seeing what's happening right now? Like,
yeah.
And I mean, is he wrong for being honest? Maybe you could say he's wrong for being too honest on that type of platform. But, like, again, and I'm not mad at A.J. Brown for doubling down on what he said and expanding on it when he talked to the media the next day. He's not wrong.
Right.
He's not wrong. We keep putting a band-aid on this. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm conflicted, right? Because we keep winning games. And it was an ugly win on the offensive side of the ball. Because we should have, man, how is it that we stopped the Detroit Lions on fourth down five times? How is it we stopped them five times and we can't capitalize on that good field position once? How?
Yeah.
How does that happen? Yes, we are winning. But I'm telling you, this is not sustainable.
Yeah.
And we get into the playoffs. We get into the divisional round. We get up against the wrong, you know, the wrong team, the wrong matchup. Right? God forbid it's the Rams again. I mean, we beat them off a blocked field goal last time. God forbid it's the Rams running it back.
Right.
And we're going home. We're sitting on the couch. It's crazy to me how people paint that narrative of A.J. Brown is selfish. Y'all need to trade him, blah, blah, blah. Like, why? Because he's being honest? It's not like he's not sitting up here saying, get me 10 targets a game. He's not. He said he wants to contribute.
Right.
Right? He said he wants the offense to contribute how they need to contribute.
I'm sick of that, man. I really am. Like, I'm so sick of seeing that, bro. Because, like, and before, like, don't get me wrong. Like, I know I was saying, like, AJ, and I mean, we all saw it, man. His body language, like, I guess, you know, that's the same thing with CD, right? Like, you can just see it. When those guys are checked out, they're checked out. Like, you can see it.
For sure.
Right. You can see it, right? And I called AJ Brown out for that. And people called him out, deservedly so, for that. But, like, man, it's to a point where it's like, okay, like, he's not wrong. Stop trying to paint this picture of him, because it's crazy. Because, right, Nick Sirianni, Jalen Hurts, everybody else will come out and say, like, bro, like, AJ Brown is the team first guy. Dude, on, dang, I don't even know if it was against the Lions. I don't think it was against the Lions, but it was against the Giants, right?
Yeah.
AJ didn't have a great game, but when Saquon got the one explosive run he had, AJ Brown literally screaming down the field, blocking for him.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, come on, man. I'm sick of that. I'm sick of the narrative the Eagles, the Philly media is putting out there. And, I mean, you know, moving on to Jalen Hurts, I mean, you've seen the reports.
I saw something. I didn't see what it said. I don't remember what
so
it said.
So, Derek exactly. Gunn, right, a very respected, well-established local Philly media guy, right? He, sports media guy, he was on the Seth Joyner show, and he basically said that people in the Eagles organization are not happy with Jalen Hurts at the quarterback position. He's saying it's basically Carson Wentz 2.0.
Players or
he didn't specify. He just said people in the organization, right? And
to be front office guys. None of the guys there were really with Carson Wentz.
So he's saying this, right? And I mean, immediately, I'm not even gonna lie to you. I'm calling BS on it. Everybody else is calling BS on it. It's like, look, and it's crazy because, like, you know, everybody's saying, like, well, Derek Gunn is like a very plugged in guy. Like, he's not just gonna say it to say that. And I'm like, right. Okay, I hear you, but I mean, all signs have pointed towards the faith and belief that we have had in Jalen Hurts, all right? The man was a Super Bowl MVP last year, right? He was an MVP runner-up 2 years ago, okay? Yeah, we paid him all that money like we did Carson Wentz, but again, Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, those things alone make it different.
Right.
But it's already not Carson Wentz.
Jalen Hurts has proven himself to be the Eagles franchise quarterback. I don't care what anybody says.
Right.
Right. Even now, like this season, he's playing really good football for the most part. He's not putting up the yards we need him to, but that's not all his fault. Right.
And it's almost like he's Carson Wentz had Carson Wentz not got hurt.
Because
saying Carson Wentz 2.0 implies that Carson Wentz's career didn't go the way it went. Because right. of injuries.
Right. Well, injuries and his lack of mental fortitude, in my opinion, when it comes to Carson Wentz. But
he's not good anymore.
No, I'm saying,
I remember that when he came, I know there was the whole thing, like he was upset about
Nick Foles
right. running, even Jalen and stuff.
That's what I'm saying.
I think at the end of the day, just the ability was the.
Well, it's crazy because. Really, again, well, I'm not trying to get too deep on this, but like Carson, like he put up more yards when he came back from injury. Like I sincerely believe when it comes to Carson Wentz and his Philly downfall, it was his lack of mental fortitude. Like Darren Sproles has even come out and talked about it. You will never hear Darren Sproles come out and talk about it, but he literally said when they were winning the Super Bowl, like Carson Wentz was sulking.
Damn.
It just, man. He couldn't take it. And, you know, that's what that is. But no, Jalen Hurts, I'm not even giving this any credence, right? Like, I'm just addressing it because it's out there.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts is our guy. Anybody that thinks otherwise can kick rocks.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's crazy to even say that. And what's crazier is, like, man, it's the Philly media that, like, tries to put so much dissension in the locker room. Like, it's insane. How hard these people are trying to, it is crazy how people in Philly trying to wedge the divide. There you go. Thank you. Trying to wedge the divide in the locker room. And it's like, dude, are you a fan of the Eagles? Or are you just trying to cause issues? Like, seriously. But yeah, no, get out of here with that mess, man. Nick Sirianni said, he literally said today, I'm not going to address anything that you won't put a name on.
Okay, makes sense.
You know what I'm saying? Put a name on it.
Tell me who said it.
Right.
And then we can go from there.
Come on, man. Like, stop, bro. Stop. So it is what it is. Yeah. The Eagles beat the Detroit Lions. Mm-hmm. Defense handled their business. Jalen Phillips, he's, oh man, I think he's going to re-up with us, and I think he will be one of those guys. And he's still super young, man. He had a hell of a game. Yeah, man, like I said, defensively, man, we have a championship-level defense. If we do not make a deep playoff run, I'm not even going to say the Super Bowl. I'm going to say if we don't make a deep playoff run, I guarantee you it'll solely be because of our offense. That's kind of where I'm at with it, man. I've said all I've had to say about it. You know, I'll keep expressing my displeasure with it. If it keeps looking like this, I anticipate that it will keep looking like this. I don't think Kevin Batullo is a good play caller. Mm-hmm. I don't. I've tried to give him the benefit of the doubt time after time again. And, you know, I just think Nick Sirianni needs to take over play calling. And I think after the season's over, man, I think he again, if we somehow go on a magical Super Bowl run with this offense, I'll be shocked.
Yeah.
But if we do it, okay, cool. I'm sorry. Like, I don't even, you know, because it's funny. Today they asked Nick, like, how do you evaluate, you know, Kevin Batullo as a play caller and everything? And, you know, he kind of gave like a generic answer and everything. And I'm like, I'm sitting thinking to myself, like, how would I, if I was a head coach, right? How would I grade my coordinators, you know, on a week to week basis? And, you know, me personally, I would give like grades. You know, like A through F, or, you know, a number scale, whatever, however you want to do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would. And I bring Kevin in, I bring Vic in, I bring Michael Clay in, our special teams coordinator, and I just tell them, like, look, you know, Sunday's performance, I'd give you C or A or F, whatever. This is, we need to fix this. You're doing great in these areas. We need to fix this. And I really think because of the friendship that Kevin Batullo and Nick Sirianni has, I think that is blinding him a little bit in terms of like, are you actually telling this man like you need to pick this up? Right. Or are you just kind of like, oh, like I know, like we're going to figure this out and everything. Like, because there's a fine line.
Babysitting him.
Yeah, because there's a fine line, right? And like, I've experienced it too, like being the boss of my friends. Like, there's a fine line. There's a fine line, right? And, I worry how well Nick Sirianni's walking that line
mm-hmm.
with Kevin Batullo, because you know they've been best friends, and you know I think they were together the Colts days, I believe, and you know Kevin he's been around a while, so man, yeah, our offense is anemic. It's anemic. It's lackluster. It doesn't make sense because I say that, but in the same breath, Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert are having career years, right?
Right.
I mean, it's crazy. Dallas Goedert, he only has like 400 receiving yards, but he has 7 touchdowns already. Mm-hmm. And your guy, Jay Ferguson, also has 7 touchdowns. Yeah man. It's hard. Like I said, I'm conflicted. Like, obviously, yeah, we're winning, and I'm happy we're 8-2. It's cool. You know, we're still the number one seed in the NFC, and, you know, still got the division on lock.
Definitely.
For the most part. But at the same time, like, I know what the deal is, man. I got two eyes. Like, I can see, right? Like, we get the wrong matchup, man, and it is going to be a wrap. You know, I guess we'll just keep taking things 1 week at a time. And that's that. But let's move on to Monday night, man.
Yep.
Your two Cowboys.
Back-to-back primetime games, yep. Like from the Eagles to Cowboys. Yep. And then, yeah, so we went into Las Vegas and manhandled the Raiders. I mean, I was really expecting that. I think that even before the, you know, trades and acquisitions we made, the Raiders have been one of the worst teams in the league.
Oh, let me just say this. That game was so bad. I just a brief side note. In Madden, right, I like to rebuild the worst franchises, right? Mm. And at the time, I was going to rebuild Cleveland. I watched that game and I said, no. I am going to rebuild the Las Vegas Raiders. So I have underwent that process. I started early today. I am going to fix the Las Vegas Raiders.
Okay.
Okay. But go ahead as you were.
Oh, well, okay. Yeah. So, yeah, we started off very slowly. Well, before it even started.
Yeah.
CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens were disappointed.
I saw the report came out. Did you see?
I don't think that's true.
The out partying and gambling?
Yeah.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
I think that's everything, because there's no official reports on what happened. I think that's just the assumption of what happened. Obviously, they're in Vegas. The two friends, two young guys, the Sin City, plenty to get into. And I think that, but the way Schottenheimer and them.
Well, he didn't even speak on it at all, really, did he?
Well, no, he didn't speak. They basically, no one's given a direct answer.
Yeah, I mean, I saw George and CD.
Yeah, CD said he's not going to speak on it. George said it was a personnel thing. Like, he dodged the question. But Shotty said there was some, he said basically there were some things missed between the two of them. Basically,
man,
the two
what is up with these, like, young, what is up with these players missing meetings and stuff?
Yeah, I think they missed
Keon meeting. Coleman, right. Abdul Carter,
we mentioned Keon Coleman, and so he missed some meetings and was a healthy scratch for the entire game. Yes. Which, in my opinion, no, I don't.
But that wasn't his first discretion, though.
Right. Well, to me, has he been benched to start a game before?
So,
or was that the first time he's been disciplined? Let's look and see if he started.
I think he's been like benched to start a game before. I just know like that's not his first discretion this season.
I just want to see, just because.
And you know, I mean, obviously we don't know.
Oh yeah, because he's played in 9 games and hasn't. He's only started 6, so he's probably.
Because
there was a whole debate, and I wonder. I'm pretty positive we'll be on opposite sides of this debate on how you feel about disciplining
guys,
players that way
for missing a meeting.
Yeah, or just, I mean, I guess discipline in general.
I think depending on the crime, right? Like that determines the punishment. So I mean Keon missed the meeting, but again, this was not his first discretion. He's been, I don't know exactly what he's been doing early in the season, but I just know this hasn't been his first discretion. I mean, I'm fining you for sure.
See, that's where I would never discipline
the team.
Discipline the player with playing time detrimental to the team's success.
See,
especially like give that game for an example.
Yeah,
you sent him for the first. You sent him for the first drive.
Yes,
immediate 3-and-out. Cause they play on the next drive. Max Crosby, one of the best defensive ends in the entire NFL, gets a strip sack before they even get a chance to do it. That game could have easily, if that game was versus anyone other than arguably the worst team in the NFL that needs to be rebuilt.
Yeah,
that who knows, the chances of us winning that game are slim to none, just given the Cowboys' history.
Yeah.
So I would never do it. I'm finding you, and I think I mentioned it on here. I've had this debate with our friend Jamal and our other group of friends about I would make NFL players run and do bear calls and do I give well, like see, the whole the and they were always, oh, you can't make grown men. If you're gonna play for my, you will. Then you're just not gonna play for me.
Yes.
If you're not gonna be coachable and just if you're gonna fall in line with the program of what we have set in tone, when if you're not gonna accept your punishments.
Yes.
But
I hear
up front, it's never gonna just be you're not gonna play, because there's even a joke going on right now, and it's like that meme of when SpongeBob and Patrick stole the free balloons, and they turned themselves in, and the police were like, "Okay, get in there. All right, you're out."
Yeah,
he's like, send them for one drive. While being the Cowboys, it could truly hurt your team, but what does it really mean in terms of discipline, because they're just looking at how it's one drive, who cares?
Yeah, I hear what you say. You can make them run, do bear calls, whatever. I think it's just like when you're dealing with grown men, you have to approach it a different way. You gotta hit them where it hurts, right? It hurts their pocket.
Yeah.
It hurts them to not play. It should, right? I mean, if it doesn't, then that's a whole nother conversation.
But the not playing hurts us too.
I think
like we can't. You're
y'all specifically. Yeah,
I think any team.
That's
the thing. I feel like your mistake.
Yeah,
shouldn't the team shouldn't pay for your mistake?
Yeah, but at the same time, you know, I remember, you know, growing up playing sports, and it was always like, you know, if one of us messes up, we all mess up, right? And it's like, as backwards as that can seem, like, I can see the rationale behind it. Like, I mean, Keon Coleman, right? Here's the thing, like, he hasn't even been Josh Allen's number one receiver. Like, right. You know, they've been doing it, you know, receiver by committee and everything, and, you know, there's talk of him being inconsistent. He's dropping balls and everything, that, like, they need him to really elevate his game to live up to that second round status and everything. Like, I don't think Keon Coleman sitting out, like, hurt the Bills as much as CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens.
That brings us to the next point. Jimmy Johnson's philosophy was star players get better treatment. It is what it is.
Yeah. Yes. You know what I'm saying? Like, it is what it is. I mean, Abdul Carter got benched for, I think, the start of the game, too.
Right.
I mean, look, again, man, it depends on the severity of the crime.
Yeah.
And that will reflect in the consequence, right? I mean, you know, speaking on that, I mean, look, Jamar Chase, I mean, do you think he deserved one game?
Well, we'll get into, because I have a whole opinion about
about spitting.
No, about the appeal. But we'll get back to the Raiders game.
Yeah, y'all beat up on the Raiders.
So they start on the side of the strip sack, and then we're able to
immediately
turn it around. Offensively, you were able to get it clicking again against the Raiders, so it doesn't mean much.
Yeah.
But it was nice to find one, it was nice to see George Pickens and CeeDee Lamb both score touchdowns in the same game.
Yep.
Jake Ferguson was able to score another touchdown. My boy Ryan Flannoy back in the end
zone. Oh, now he's your boy.
He was never not my boy.
Man, you was trashing him last year.
He was not my boy as my wide receiver two. As my wide receiver five behind CD.
Five. I mean, really, probably three, because I feel like he's getting more playing time now, right?
Well,
I haven't even seen Jalen Tolbert like that.
He's been working his way three, four, five, behind CD and Pickens. He's my boy.
Yes.
And so, in the end, I just credit him for the run. He ran a route. They got him on the route. I run in Madden all the time. That little whip route where you cut in right back out to the sideline. Perfect. Man, yeah. So beautiful there. And then shout out to our defense. Again,
yes.
The Raiders were one of the worst offenses in the league.
Yeah.
And I want to say that before, like I was saying, it was more so that, like, guys weren't even in the right spot. We have been beaten up by bad teams all season. It wouldn't have been the first time we made a bad quarterback look like he was turning the clock back or looking
to
the
right. Y'all did have some, you know, reinforcements come on defense.
And they made immediate impact.
1,000%.
Quentin Williams, a sack and a half. He had five QB hits, the most in a career high for one of the best D tackles in the entire NFL in his first game. Couldn't ask for more.
Had one sack in eight games with the Jets.
This season, right.
1.5 with y'all already.
Kenny Clark had a sack. I think he got half of that sack. And then Osa Adiga Izua. So just in terms of the trenches in general, they were creating insane pressure on Geno Smith, rushing him. I think our linebackers played a lot better. Logan Wilson was he was a better in coverage than what we had previously.
Yeah.
DeMarvion Overshow made his debut and made contributions in that linebacker room. He had a couple tackle for losses, was all over the place. Siavon Revel made his debut, and I got to admit, I was honestly very skeptical on Siavon Revel.
Because of where he went, because of ECU, where he went to school.
Because I saw the pick as Jerry and company thinking they pulled a fast one on the rest of the league when no one really cared.
Yeah.
Because if you look at Siavon Revel, yes, he had a great junior season. His freshman season, not his fault, COVID had 2020, missed the entire season.
Yeah.
Sophomore season, only played 6 games because of the lingering effects of the COVID season.
Yeah.
So he had 6 games sophomore season, played his whole junior season. Oh, he played 5 games. 5 games, then played 12 games in the junior season, again, going to ECU. Mm-hmm. Played the only powerhouse school they played was against the Michigan.
Did we play ECU?
Opening.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, we did.
Blow them out of the water.
Yeah,
a team who had y'all went on to win the championship that season and
we played there.
Y'all had only lost like one regular season game since COVID.
Yeah, yeah.
So that should just tell you. So for them to be all opening game tells you everything about them. And so that was his junior season. And then senior season was when he played 3 games and tore his ACL. So he played 20 collegiate football games.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Haley was recovering from ACL. So
Baller's ball.
And I had every opportunity. I was giving him every opportunity to prove me wrong. And well, again, week one, it was 1 week. Week against the Raiders, he proved me wrong. He was very serviceable.
Yeah.
His name didn't get called too often. He played a decent amount of snaps.
Yeah.
I mean, and I liked what I saw. And at this point, I mean, a lot of people are like, oh, well, they might be kind of getting their hopes up. And I got to say, I think this is just good stuff to build on for next season.
Right.
I don't think, obviously none of the players are going to give up.
No.
Because I think that even, say, by the crazy chance we went out, I think that would put us at 11-5-1. I still don't think that's good enough to make the playoffs this season. I think that we're at a point right now to where we're at a point to where,
let's see,
us going 11-5-1 would only guarantee a playoff spot if other teams
would fall off.
Because right now it's looking like
way off.
It's looking like obviously the division winners, you guys, and I think it's we're in the NFC East, that's you guys, and then I think it's the NFC South.
Yep.
Where it's like the Buccaneers will probably win the NFC South. No, because there's only one team out of the NFC South.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
This is going to be, these are going to be the Buccaneers or the Panthers.
So right now,
in the NFC West and the NFC North, it's looking like those two conferences are going to send three teams.
So right now, you got us at first, the Rams in second, the Bears in third, they're at 7-3, the Buccaneers at four, they're 6-4, Seahawks 7-3 at five, Packers 6-3-1, and then the 49ers 7-4. On the bubble, y'all are in 10th. Right, y'all behind the Panthers 6-5 and the Lions 6-4. I mean, the Lions could mess around and miss the playoffs possibly.
Well, that's NFC East team, NFC
what on the
South team
in the bubble,
and then no, that's in the playoffs. That's NFC East, NFC South,
one,
and then 3-3.
The Eagles in the NFC East, that's one. The Rams in the West, Rams, Seahawks, and the 49ers West, that's three. And then you got the Bears and the Packers, that's the North, and then you got the Buccaneers, the South.
Yeah. So we're fighting for
you'd have to finish with a better record than the Panthers, which
we lose the tiebreaker with them. So if we'd have to have a better record than them.
Right.
We lose the tiebreaker with the Bears if they don't make it in. We lose, like,
a lot of things would have to happen.
Exactly. I think everything we're doing now is a building block for next season. Obviously, right. These guys aren't going to give up. They're gonna do everything they can to win out.
If y'all finish in this round and win like 9-10 games, I mean.
Because that's the thing. In those teams, losing games isn't even impossible.
Right.
Because a lot of those teams have to play each other.
Yes.
Losses are.
It's going to be a bloodbath. A lot of those teams have to play each other. It's going to be a bloodbath.
Last few weeks of the season, whether the Cowboys are in it or not, they're going to be very heavy. They're going to be very competitive.
Very, a lot of playoff implications at stake, man. In
fact, a lot. Before we even get that far, this upcoming week, though, is the rematch of Week One.
Yeah,
Cowboys versus Eagles.
Yeah,
in Dallas. What are your thoughts on the upcoming matchup?
I guess let me preface my thoughts on that by saying, you know, the Cowboys had a dominant game against the lowly Raiders, right? And I don't say that, you know, disrespecting y'all. It's just like, no, like, y'all did exactly what I expected y'all to do against the Raiders.
Yeah.
Exactly, right? So, yeah, the Cowboys much improved on defense. Quinnen Williams made a huge, huge difference, obviously, right? And I think y'all definitely got better on that side of the ball. You got a lot of reinforcements back. I think it was like, what, y'all had five? Yeah. There's six players come back into, you know, the starting lineup now for y'all. So,
or either coming back or new from
trade. Right, right. Just reinforcements coming in. So, yeah, man, I mean, the Cowboys, they beat up on the Raiders, as y'all should. You know, like, y'all are not, like, y'all are, but y'all aren't at the same time what your record says you are, right? We know y'all have a top five offense when y'all are rolling. and defense was just god awful. But now you got help on that side of the ball, so I anticipate y'all finishing better down the stretch on that side of the ball. In terms of, you know, coming down to Dallas and playing y'all, man, you know, hopefully there's not Spitgate Part 3.
Yeah, I don't think Jalen Carter. I think he's almost foaming at the mouth to get back in this one. He's do nothing to jeopardize that.
1,000%. Yeah, I expected to be a dogfight. You know, it's a division rivalry, and that's how our games usually go. If it's not a blowout, it's a dogfight.
Right.
Our defense is playing well. Like I said, I feel like we have a championship caliber defense right now. You know, got to come in and you know, stop that potent offense y'all got. We got to shut down George Pickens and CD and company. Make it hard on Dak. Like I said, I think it'll come down to the wire. I don't, like I said, man, for me, everything, the onus falls on our offense, man. And like I said, y'all's defense just got better. Y'all got Quinnen Williams in the mix now. And, you know, our O-line is banged up, man. Cam Jurgens has been in and out of the lineup. Lane Johnson, you know, Nick Sirianni, he's always...
And like I think it's funny, like why he's like this. I get it, but at the same time, I was like, all right, bro, like you don't got to be coy with everything. All the reports are saying Lane Johnson is going to be out for at least 4 weeks, right? With a Lisfranc injury in his foot. Nick Sirianni wouldn't even come out and say if Lane Johnson is out for this week, bro. Like it's just
with his back, Mark Johnson.
Fred Johnson.
Who? I mean, hasn't he been playing well?
Yeah.
Is that?
Yeah, he's in all our jumbo packages. I mean, look, you heard me say it on here, man. Whenever Lane Johnson retires, if that's you know, this year or next year, whatever.
Right.
We keep Fred Johnson around. I firmly believe Fred Johnson could mess around and be at least our bridge right tackle until we find our next guy. Or for maybe, because sure. Fred, I think he's like 27, 28. So, I mean, I don't know. If he plays really well, I think Fred Johnson could definitely hold down the spot at right tackle. I believe in Fred Johnson 1,000%.
So, yeah, I'm anticipating Fred Johnson will start. Brett Toth will probably start as center again. So, yeah, O-line's a bit banged up. You know, so that worries me a little bit, you know, going up against Dallas with, you know, Quinnen Williams and Kenny Clark and company now. Yeah, man. I mean, look, the real battle,
I guess it's going to be two real battles in this, right? What y'all's offense can do against our defense, right? And what our sporadic, lackluster offense can do against y'all's revamped defense. Like that, those are the two matchups that it's going to, you know, and it's funny.
Cowboys versus the Eagles.
Yes. Yes. And, yeah, that's what the game is going to come down to for me. You know, can we get the running game going consistently? Can we marry that with a complimentary passing game, right? Can we just create explosive plays consistently, right? Like, can we do it? Like, that's it's always going to come down to that, right? I believe in our defense wholeheartedly. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, I know y'all got a top five offense, but, man, like, I'm watching our defense. We just held the Lions offense who averaged 30. We just held them to, what, 7?
Yeah.
Like, come on, man. So, yeah, man, I'm feeling really good about our defense. And like I said, I feel like in the end it's going to come down to whichever team probably has the last possession. I think it's going to be a close game. I think it's going to be a tight game. You know, y'all are in – again, you know, me and you are both level-headed when it comes to, you know, y'all's outlook for the rest of the season. But, you know, like you said, I mean, y'all have to win out.
Yeah.
Right? Like, y'all are playing for whatever little playoff life you have, you feel like you have. So, I'm expecting to get y'all's best shot. Yeah, man, I think it's going to be a tight game. We'll see. You know, I'm praying for Kevin Petullo to finally figure it out. I don't think he will. But, yeah, I think it's going to be a tight game. And we'll see, man. We got to come down to Dallas and steal one. You know, we got to come down to Dallas and steal one.
I honestly don't really know how the game is going to go. I just know that whichever team's defensive line dominates the other's offensive line more is going to win the game.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what it's going to really boil down to. I think you guys have a proven, I mean, arguably the best defensive line in the NFL.
Yeah. And that was not the case when the season started. Like, I just want to make that clear. That was not the case when the season started.
You saying y'all did? You don't think y'all have it?
When the season first started, nah. I was on here saying we need to get more edge rushers. We need to reinforce that the D tackle spot. Like, I was saying that, and it was true. It was true. I mean, our sack numbers are still pretty low in terms of like the league. We're there now, but we weren't there at the beginning of the season. That's all I'm saying.
And I think that we have our offensive line. That's who we those are the guys we got. Those are the guys we picked.
We have our
that's who's got to hold up. And I think on the flip side, I think our defensive line has potential to be one of the best. They have to go out there and show it week in, week out.
Yep.
And what better team to start off with than the lowly Raiders and then a banged up offensive line with the Eagles. I think that both defensive lines have the opportunity to recap.
To win this game.
Yeah, and I think that's what it's really going to come down to.
Yeah, I agree 1,000%. They say it all the time, most games are one in the trenches.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm with you, man. If our D-line can get after it early and get after Dak early and throw him off rhythm, you know, that bodes well for us. If y'all can get after Jalen early and get him off base, that bodes well for y'all. You know, it's funny. I'm thinking about this now. You know, when I was in California, I had free time in the morning, so I would watch First Take. And, dude, I'm not going to lie. I don't like Cam Newton, like, now. He be saying some stuff, and it's like, what are you talking about?
What did he say?
Like, so they were talking about the Eagles and Lions, and first off, I'll even say this, because that pass interference call on Rocky Sin, it was horrible. It was bad. It was not a pass interference. Right hand to God, I'll say that. Bad call. I am not going to sit here and say the Detroit Lions were robbed of a victory.
No. I think they weren't robbed of a victory. They were robbed of a chance of one.
Of an opportunity.
Yeah, of opportunity. They had to go out there and capitalize. But there was nothing that suggested that they would have.
So. 0-for-5 on fourth down.
Right.
They were 0-for-5 on fourth down.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I'll just leave it at that. All right. They were robbed of the opportunity, not robbed of the game. Get out of here with that mess. But no, Cam Newton, him and Dan Orlovsky were talking about.
I hate Dan Orlovsky.
I don't usually agree with Dan Orlovsky, but I found myself agreeing with him. Man, I can't even remember. Maybe it was Thursday.
He's quite literally my least favorite, like, actual. Well, actually, I guess.
No, Monday.
An analyst. I guess Shady's also an analyst. So Shady's like, then Dan Orlovsky. But.
Okay, fair. Yeah, no, they were talking about, you know, Jared Goff and. Because. I mean, we held him. We made Jared Goff have his worst game, basically, in the NFL. Like, his completion percentage was the worst it had ever been in a game he started and finished. Okay, so we gave Jared Goff the work all night, right? And, you know, Dan Orlovsky and everybody else, they're saying, like, yeah, because, like, the Eagles defense were breathing down his neck all night. Like, he couldn't even get his feet set to hit Amon-Ra St. Brown and hit Jameson, right? Like, he was running for his life. And he was basically saying, like, the Detroit Lions offensive line got exposed, right? That's what he was saying. And
well, those are the same thing.
No. Dan Washington's saying this. Cam Newton was basically saying, "Nah, yeah, like he was literally like,
as in like they're not that good."
Who, the Lions?
Like, yeah,
he wasn't saying they're not that good, but he was just saying that, like, the Lions offensive line got exposed. That's what he was saying. That's a small part of this, right? Because Cam Newton came back and was basically like, yeah, nah, like, I saw Jared Goff not be on the same page with Amon-Ra, and, you know, I just saw him, like, Amon-Ra running one route and Jared throwing another, and, you know, all this and that.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
To me, he was basically discrediting the Eagles defense and what they were able to do. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, like, no, like, the reason Jared Goff was off with Amon-Ra and they weren't on the same page, because he was running for his life.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's the, like, cause and effect. That's why that happened.
He was being rushed to throw before Amon-Ra made the crack.
Exactly. And, like, he was, I didn't like how Cam Newton was doing that, bro. Again, I don't agree with Dan Orlovsky most of the time, but yeah, that was getting on my nerves, man.
Mm-hmm. Understandable.
But yeah. So yeah, we'll see how Sunday goes, man. We'll see up in Dallas, Big D. We'll see how it goes. Hopefully we can get the dub. Obviously, you're going to be rooting the same. And, you know, we'll see. That'll be a very interesting game. I'm expecting a good one regardless, though. I'm expecting a very good one regardless.
I will say, I mean, I predicted a win going early just into the season, just as long, because I'm just big on, if as long as both teams are competitive, they're most likely going to split at home.
Yeah.
And I think.
I can't remember the last time we haven't split.
Oh, Dak never not split.
Right. Like, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
At the very least.
So, yeah, yeah, we'll see, man. I'm expecting a tight game, and I think it'll definitely come down to the wire.
We kind of mentioned, you know, Spitgate with Jalen Carter, and man, was there a Spitgate 2 this past weekend? First off, let me just say
this time Jalen was on the other side of
Jalen Ramsey, yes. Let me just say this, Jamar Chase, you are foul.
Yeah.
Like, I can't, like, did you see what Mike Tomlin said today?
Yeah, they said, like, what is your response? Like, what would you tell a player in that situation? Is like, react however you naturally would.
I don't have a message for when somebody spits in your face.
Literally.
React accordingly. That's what he said. Like, he not only did it, dude, like, vehemently lied, denied it. I don't know why. And you said you have an opinion about the appeal. Go ahead, because I don't even know why he's appealing this.
I think, especially if it's that blatant somewhere, if you're going to appeal it, okay, we have to take the time to review this and make and see, then, well, now, if you're that so sure you want to lie, you didn't say you didn't do it, well, basically, like, risk it. If you want to put this appeal in, if you get denied, two-game suspension, and you're in more fines. Especially because if he he did it.
Yes.
If that was a Cubs fan, he just would have shut up.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have said anything, wouldn't have appealed it. And even, did you even hear his response as to, like, why the lies he said, like, why he didn't do it?
I only saw, like, I think it was, like, right after the game when they asked him what happened.
Yeah.
And because, you know, they asked Jalen, and he was like, I never opened my mouth to that guy. That's all I saw.
He said that, oh, if I'm going to spit on him, I'd spit in his face. I wouldn't spit on his chest. What kind of deflection is
that? He said that?
Yes. This is not,
man, Jamar.
That does not sound like a guy who didn't spit on somebody.
No. I mean, look, we all saw the tape. I'm not even going to.
Yeah.
We all saw the tape.
Yeah.
Jamar Chase spat on Jalen Ramsey.
It was more direct than when Jalen Carter did.
1,000%. No, 1,000%. I'm tired of people even bringing that part up, bro. It's like, don't even look, that happened. Don't even bring that up anymore. Look what happened here. Jamar and Jalen got into it. Jamar spat in that man's face. And Jalen Ramsey grabbed him. And because somebody else made the point too, and it's very evident too. Why didn't Jamar Chase swing back? Jalen grabs him. Jamar didn't even do nothing.
Well, I think that's just he didn't want to do it.
Maybe. I don't know. If you can say that, you can also say it.
You say, like, oh, because he knows he was wrong.
He did it, yeah.
No, I don't think anyone who's going to spit on somebody is just going to let them, is like, oh, yeah, I know we're wrong. I'm going to let you punch me. He's just a punk that didn't want to fight.
I'm just saying, like, maybe he felt like he did enough. Because he spat on some, you know what I'm saying? Like, okay. That's all. It's just, whatever. But, I mean, okay, well, because you said that. Let me ask you this. Have you lost all respect for Jamar Chase?
I don't really
feel one way or
care
another.
That much. Because I will say.
Because he definitely, I mean,
he lost fans. Yeah, for sure. But to me, I don't really have a problem with disrespecting somebody you don't like. If they got beef, who cares?
Really? Spit on somebody?
Punch him.
Wait a second.
They don't like each other. He doesn't respect him.
Hold on. Okay. So, okay, but.
It's like Aqib Talib snatching another dude's chain. Like, I don't lose. Like, they don't like each other. Whatever they've got to do to each other, that's between them.
So you're basically saying it has nothing to do with you. You're out of it.
Yeah.
You don't feel one way or the other about it.
No. I just think it's dumb for him to do it.
I hear you, but I also thought that, like, there's levels to this, man. You should never spit on another human being. I don't care if you don't like the person or not. Like, I hear you, and I'm with you for the most part, but
you can't spit on somebody, man. Like, that should never, ever happen. Ever. Like, I'm not going to lie. Jamar Chase, he lost some points with me, bro. Like, I'm not even going to lie. And I mean, you can call me a hypocrite and say whatever, because Jalen Carter did not lose points with me, because we all know what happened with there. Dak Prescott played the game. As far as I know, Jalen Ramsey was just talking and that happened. Call me a hypocrite, whatever. But I mean, just to be so blatant about it and to lie, you know, it's funny because you say, like, because he's caught lying and everything. Like, if he appeals it and he loses, he should get two games. I mean, I hear what you're saying. He should have got two games off rep. I'm not even going to lie.
He should have got two games off rip because.
Yeah, because it's already happened this season.
So, well, see, that's
like,
what
could you like? Because it's like you saw him do it in your game. It's like, well, you know that.
That's what Jeff Saturday was talking about because he's in the NFLPA.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's basically like, you can't. Like, there's not, like, there's not that enough precedent for this, right? And, you know, like, Jalen Carter, that happened, like, he got kicked out before the game even started. So they viewed that as his one-game suspension.
Right.
You know, Ja'Marr Chase did this, one-game suspension. But he's, I mean, he said, like, you can't change the precedent so quickly like that. But he did say, like, now, like, when the offseason comes and, you know, the owners' meetings happen and all this and that.
Right.
That's when, you know, the real hammer is going to come down. Yeah, man. Ja'Marr Chase, super foul. Super foul. I mean, again, you can hate Jalen Ramsey. Like, straight up, you can hate him. I can't stand playing against that guy. He just talks too much, whatever, whatever. I don't know what you'd have to say to somebody to warrant you deciding you need to spit on them. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know, bro. That's just crazy. And this is even crazier that he's just doubling down. I didn't spit on him.
Yeah, because, well, I think it's not even a thing of something specific like that he could say to him. I think it's that, like I said, I don't think it's he doesn't like respect him. He doesn't respect him. He's like, I'm just about to disrespect him the best and worst way I can.
Yeah. Nah.
Because I'm with Jalen Ramsey 1,000%.
Oh, definitely.
You spit on me.
Swing on him immediately.
I'm going to jail, bro. I promise you I'm going to jail.
I mean, if anything, I gained respect for Jalen Ramsey. I've always thought he was a bit on the softer side.
What?
Oh, yeah. I've always thought he was all.
Why? Because those early interviews in Jacksonville?
Yeah. the sass. The sass is very rampant.
That sass comes with some thump. No. I'm not even talking about him whooping on Ja'Marr, bro. Jalen Ramsey, he be hitting.
Yeah, and within the lines for sure. I mean, for specifically in terms of this is the first time he's gotten to a physical argument, but that's the first time he's been like yapping with somebody, and I've always just kind of.
I can't remember what he said, like those early Jacksonville days. I know what you're talking about, though, the interviews, but that's funny.
You tell me or something like that.
Like, you tell me.
With the cornrows.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Jalen Ramsey, he's a character, bro. He's a character for sure.
Yeah, nah. Ja'Marr got the one game suspension. I think it should have been two off rip just for lying. Like, off rip, it should have been two. Can't spit on somebody, man. That's so disrespectful. And, I mean, look, man, I hope these fellas will see him, man. Cause and you look, you mess around, you spit on the wrong dude. In the locker room, man, let me get that hammer, dog. I'm like you spit on the wrong guy.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
This man, no holds barred. So
if they weren't at work. And then have pads on and that, like, yeah, the things get bad.
No, 1,000%. So, can we just keep our saliva in our mouths, please?
Yeah,
let's just not.
That's the easiest way.
Yeah, let's just not spit on each other. You can swing on me all day. Let's just not spit on each other. Moving on though, man. It's a little bit past the midway point of the season, honestly. But I wanted to see where are your thoughts at on MVP? Who you got for midseason MVP right now?
Matthew Stafford.
Okay. Yeah, same. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. 27 touchdowns, 2 picks.
It's just ridiculous.
I think he's already thrown for like 2,700 yards.
Leading the league for sure.
He's balling. I mean,
Rams are
7-8.
I mean, to put it in perspective, Matthew Stafford had 20 touchdowns and 8 interceptions all of last year.
Right.
20 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. He has 27 touchdowns, 2 interceptions right now.
He has 2,500 yards for 6th in the league. His 27 touchdowns are first in
2 interceptions.
Yeah, first in the league. And Dak and Jared Goff are second with 21. So he's 6
21 touchdowns ahead. Or 2,100 yards?
21 touchdowns.
Yeah.
So there's he's 6 touchdowns ahead of second place.
Yep.
And then 6th in yards.
Yep.
So it's 66% completion percentage is.
No, he's just balling, man. He's balling.
I don't know where he went. It's good. But, yeah.
I think he has like 112 passer rating right now. He's balling, man. He's balling flat out.
Yeah, I think 112 for a passer rating.
Yeah, I think the talk is between him and
Drake May.
Yeah, him and Drake May, Jonathan Taylor. The Colts have kind of cooled off a little bit, right? So
yeah, and I mean a running back getting it.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Peterson was the last one to get that, Brad. But
yeah, it's just not.
Saquon put up 2,000 last year, couldn't get it. So, I think it's Matthew 7 for me too. Drake May, I gotta see what are his numbers look like. Did you see it on there?
Yeah, he's definitely up there because the Patriots also
they're balling too. They're 7-3, I believe.
Matthew Stafford, he's 112 passer rating. Drake May has 113. Drake May has 20 touchdowns, so he's fourth, right behind Jared Goff and Dak.
How many interceptions?
He has 5 interceptions.
Okay.
And then passing yards, he is, where did yards go? There it is.
Probably like, I'll say 2,200 maybe.
Oh, first in passing yards, 2,800.
Really? Oh, yes. Wow. Okay, Drake. Okay. Man, shout out to Drake May, man.
So yeah, he's first in passing yards, fourth in passing touchdown. Yeah. Only 5 interceptions.
Yeah.
First in QB rating.
Yeah. Okay. Shout out to Drake May, man.
With the Patriots being 8-2 as well.
Are they 8-2? I think they're 7-3.
That's what might be.
I think they're 7-3.
No, they only have 2 losses.
8-2? Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah, because they lead the division. Wow. Okay. You know what? Shout out Drake May, man. I'm going to give Drake May some love.
I don't think they might not have had their bye week, so they might be 9-2. Hold on.
They're not 9-2. I don't think they're 9-2. I just saw. Yeah. Are they 9-2?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I knew the Patriots would do a good. Wow. Okay. I need to pay attention to the Patriots more. Okay. Then if that's the case, I think it's Matthew Stafford, Drake May.
I'm going to put Drake May up there.
Do you really? Over Matthew Stafford?
He doesn't have a Puka Nacua or Cooper. Yes,
he got Stephon Diggs.
But
hold on. Yeah, Stephon Diggs. Hunter Henry's been a really good tight end. He just slept on because he's been playing with the Chargers and the Patriots. And Travion Henderson's been balling recently. And their defense has been balling.
These are guys that are balling. They're all balling together, whereas Puka and Kua, they're like proven, like they've been doing this.
I hear you. I just.
I don't think they're as good. Stephon Diggs is not as good as Puka Nacua.
Right now, yeah.
But he might not even, at his best, might have been maybe on par.
Stephon Diggs was a top 5 receiver a couple years ago, bro. Wow, okay. So you're giving it to Drake May right now because you feel like he's been doing more with less.
He's the first thing he's, so he has a little less touchdown, but more passing yards that are all, they're kind of right there and doing similar with a little less. And
how old is Drake May? If he won it, because how old was Lamar when he won his first one?
No, he is young.
Drake May is like, what, is he 23?
Let me see.
Man, yeah. I mean, I see your argument. I'm not even mad if you put Drake May 23, first.
23, born in 2002.
Wow. I wonder what the odds are right now. Can you look that up, what the MVP odds are right now? I bet you it's probably Stafford 1. It might be Drake May 2nd. I wouldn't be mad if Drake May got it. I mean, if the Patriots stay on pace this season. Man.
Matthew Stafford, 150. Drake May, 185.
Yeah.
And the next closest person, Josh Allen, at plus 500.
No. No, no.
Jonathan Taylor, plus 750. Josh Allen shouldn't even be in the conversation.
No, he should not. And yes, he had a 6 touchdown performance, but I knew you saw it. Because were you watching it with Omar that game?
I saw some of it. I know
Omar saw what I saw, man. Josh Allen, he hell of a performance, 6 touchdowns. But to start,
man. Oh, I saw I
that man. He went back to like rookie Josh Allen with that interception, man.
And I just want that man, because I had a huge actually thought about that's with the specifically that specific play.
Yeah.
And I want to credit, when it happened, I mean, he threw a chest pass, and I say a basketball chest pass, like with both hands from his end zone, interception. His defense, I think they probably got the ball at like the 15, maybe. Defense allowed 5, maybe 6 yards, forced a field goal. I mean, how lucky can you be? Like, that's when my whole point about that that I made when I was watching it was when going back to the Cowboys-Packers playoff game where people were like, oh, well, Dak gave the defense 14 points. Just because the offense turns the ball over does not mean the defense has to give up a touchdown.
Yeah, I get it.
If they're already in field goal range, obviously they're going to kick a field goal. But y'all can still do your job and play some defense. He threw a pick six.
I'll give you seven. He threw, 14,
no. And in this game, credit to our defense. They got a strip sack on our Max Crosby. And credit our offensive line and the scheme. They had a great scheme. They were chipping Max Crosby. They had him. Even then, they did what they could. It was great. That was a coverage strip sack. It was great coverage on the back end. Safety came down, took out CD, and he chased. He did his best Micah impression. And chased him back around from the back end. Dak tried to escape the pocket. Strip sack. Defense held him to a field goal. Credit to y'all, because I've been begging for y'all to do that. It finally happened. Back to the midseason MVP. I'd say Drake May. And just back to that. I got to look one more thing.
Drake May. Yeah, you know what? I still give Stafford the but it's closer. It's this. Matthew Stafford, Drake May. Because, I mean, Matthew Stafford, I mean, dude, 27-2, right? Like, right now, 27-2? Like, that's insane.
Yeah, that's insane.
So, I'll keep it to him for now. But, if both teams keep pace, I mean, dude, because Matthew Stafford's on pace for, 5,000 yards and, 44 touchdowns? 4 interceptions? Like, is that what we're on pace for? Like, you know, Drake May, if he can, I think he personally, he would probably have to close that touchdown gap, but he's leading the league in yards. And would you say in
QBR, and then he's more in touchdowns.
Fourth? Yeah. Yeah. I think it might come down to the wire with those two. That'll be interesting. I've been watching the Patriots, so I didn't realize they were 9-2. Oh my God. Yeah, man. Well, shout out to Matthew Stafford and Drake May for balling, man. You know, we love to see it.
Matthew Stafford's on pace for probably
46, 4,700 yards.
Yeah, then 45 touchdowns, or 46 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Honestly. And then interceptions, really 3.
Right.
And so Drake May's numbers are he's on pace for more passing yards. Probably 40 touchdowns. I mean,
if Matthew Stafford gets 40 plus touchdowns and he keeps his interceptions to
less than 6, 5.
Six or under. Unless Drake May he closes that gap with the touchdowns and he keeps leading the league in yards and QBR. Wow. Okay, this is going to be an interesting MVP race down the stretch. I'm looking forward to watching this. All right, man, time to switch gears a little bit. Let's talk about it. I left LA yesterday. It was LeBron's debut. Everybody's hitting me you should have stayed to watch the GOAT play, and I'm he's the second best. Well, whatever.
That's actually so crazy.
We're not talking about that right now.
Because I actually, for the first time, had that debate with my boss today. Nowhere. He saw my lock screen, which is a picture of Luka Doncic throwing LeBron Duncan.
Yeah.
And so he asked me why I had Luka on my lock screen, and I forgot how it even came up. I think... Well, because I know one of my coworkers is a big Luka fan. I think he was the GOAT.
Like a Luka fan, you're a LeBron fan.
I think he was a Mavericks fan. Him was a Luka. But now that Luka's a Laker, he's just kind of discombobulated in terms of fandom. But I think he said something about being the GOAT. And then I was like, the GOAT's in the thing, because my boss just saw Luka. And he was like, who are you talking about? And then it got to, I'm saying, and I was not to have the conversation, but to say, once he was like,
how old is your boss? Much older than you?
He's probably maybe 40.
Okay.
And I can't think if he was saying Jordan or Kobe was the GOAT for one, because he was arguing for both. But then he was he wasn't even just it wasn't just us. He would literally we were sitting there, and he'd ask everybody around, "Hey, come here. Who do you think this is go?" And then really getting. And people were saying,
I love that though. I love like organic, whether it's work or like your out.
It made me mad because as soon as it got brought up, our coworker was like, "You don't even watch basketball." And he was like, "Yeah, but."
Who, your boss?
Yes.
Oh.
So
wait, what?
Yes. I immediately was already checked out of the conversation.
Okay. Yeah. That, Paul, like what?
Yeah.
Okay. That's weird.
Yeah. And so, yeah, but he was arguing for both, having people come in. And so we were having that debate all day.
Yeah. You can't talk about who's the GOAT if you don't even watch the sport. Exactly. Bro. That doesn't even make sense. But yeah,
LeBron made his long-awaited Lakers debut this season.
Year 23.
I saw the box score.
NBA record.
I didn't watch the game.
Year 23.
Yeah, I saw the box score. He didn't have like as far as I can tell from the box score, he didn't like have a great game.
Oh, no, he had an amazing game.
Well, I was gonna say score wise.
Oh yeah, just score.
But I mean, I'm assuming you watched it.
Yes.
Okay, so the chemistry is obviously still there.
Oh,
vibes are at an all time high. Okay, absolutely. So talk about it, man. How was the game? How was LeBron? How did he look ingratiating himself into Luka's Lakers?
Luka was the first scoring option. Austin Reeves was even the second scoring option. Maybe I feel like going forward, LeBron will be the second scoring option. He's just kind of easing into it, but. I mean, he was just facilitating, doing what he does best, getting everybody involved.
I saw DeAndre Ayton had a 20-14 game.
Absolutely. I mean, he even addressed these kind of comments that people were making that he didn't name anybody specifically, or I can't even remember who, like, but across the, you know, sports, like, reports were like, oh, because things were going well for the Lakers to start the season, like, oh, that's just try to move away from LeBron, or how's LeBron gonna fit into this? Yeah. Is he gonna be able to take the back seat?
Yeah.
First of all, we've been begging for somebody to take the back seat.
Yeah.
So LeBron can take the back seat.
Yes.
For years, hoping that would be Anthony Davis. Mm-hmm. It was not. Now that we have Luka, it finally is, and that's amazing to see. Mm-hmm. And the comments that LeBron kind of addressed specifically were whether or not he'd be able to fit in. And he basically said, recognize who the heck I am. I'm LeBron James.
Are you talking about with
anybody in any way? Yes. It's going to work. And he proved that. He doesn't have to. When has LeBron ever shown he has to go out there and chuck up a whole bunch of shock? Has to just be. That was just the best. Him shooting the ball was just the best option. Right. Why wouldn't he be taking the most shots?
Right.
With Luka being Luka, arguably the best player who's played like an MVP since the lead, he's averaging like 40-something points a game right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Why would LeBron be taking shots? If Austin Reeves is showing to be, he's actually a borderline all-star in the NBA. He's averaging over 20 points a game. He's been the second option. He's been everything that you would want him to be.
Yeah.
I mean, well, I don't know why. Just
like where people getting this rush? Yeah, I think I'm not even speaking for myself. I think just people, you know, because watching LeBron play basketball for the past 23 years, right? It's like all we know is whatever team LeBron is on, he has the ball, right? Whatever team LeBron plays on, he has the ball. He facilitates. He is the number one option. He, like, it's LeBron. Wherever the ball is at, that's what LeBron is, right? And I think people get so used to that. It's like, it's always said, right? Like, LeBron is, he's a pass first player. He's not a score first player, right? Like, people always try to, you know, make that point. Cause he's, what is he? He's like, he's in the top five in assists, right?
Fourth. He'll be.
Yeah.
Like, and will most likely pass Chris Paul for third. Cause I mean, they're still both playing, but they're like right neck and neck.
Yeah.
And it's looking like he'll have more opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Than Chris Paul.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, LeBron James is the greatest all-around player I've ever seen play, right? He can do it all. When he was at his prime, he was doing it at a God-tier level. But yeah, I think that's where people's hesitation comes in, and they've never seen LeBron defer before, right? So they didn't think he could, I guess.
I mean, there was just never a reason to.
Well, yeah, I guess. But I mean, yeah, you know, I guess we'll see, you know. It's only one game, so, you know, obviously you got to see how the rest of the season goes. But, I mean, the Lakers keep pace, man. I mean,
the thing is they're playing great, but they're still only like fourth in the West.
I mean, I was gonna say maybe they can,
because right, they're now literally fourth in the West. Thunder 14-1, ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Nuggets 10-3, Rockets 9-3, Lakers 11-4.
I think, yeah, I mean, the Lakers, you know, if they can keep pace, they can be one of the three teams that can possibly challenge the Thunder. You know, I had a conversation with Jordan, a guy I met in L.A. You know, he's a huge basketball head, and we're talking about it. And he's like, well, who do you have winning it all? And I said, honestly, I mean, I have no reason to not pick the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Well, you have three teams in the entire NBA that can compete with
in the West.
I have four. I think the Nuggets, Lakers, the Rockets, with now with Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
And I think the Spurs are making that push. They're right. They're nine. They're 10-4.
Yeah.
They're fifth in the West. I think Wimby's taking. I think he's like taking that step.
You think he's? Yeah. I gotta see it for a longer period of time,
mm-hmm,
for me to say that. The Spurs are absolutely set up for success. I'm so convinced. I'm asking myself. I mean, do they even need a De'Aaron Fox?
I mean, that's a great question.
I
really think De'Aaron Fox will get traded in the next season and a half. I really believe that. Because I don't even think they need him. And you're only going to keep Dylan Harper on the bench for so long.
Right.
Like, for so long. So, no, the Spurs, they're in a good spot. I don't know.
Like, if you know, because Wimby's out now. He's hurt and everything. Right. If the Spurs can keep pace, you know, we'll see where they are, you know, towards the All-Star break. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Something just tells me, like, I'm still waiting on a little bit from them. But, no, the Spurs, they're definitely, they should be a top five playoff team. Like, they definitely should. Because I mean, after that, I mean, who, the Clippers? And I mean, they're kind of free falling right now, I think, right?
The Clippers are 4-10.
Yeah,
they're terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
Timberwolves 9-5, Suns 9-6, Warriors 9-7, and then everybody else.
See, those are the wild cards. You know, the Minnesota,
they should do away with the play-in. Jesus, literally it cuts off right at the Warriors at the 8th seed at 9-7.
I just,
the 9th through 14th seed are all have losing records by double, like, yeah, at least two games. Yeah. Trailblazers 6-8 at 9th, then it's 5-9, 4-10. Yeah, the Trailblazers are 6-8.
Hey, real quick on them, I want to shout out the Trailblazers and Tiago Splitter, former Spur, because I know they're 6-9. Would you say 6-9 right now?
6-8. What does Tiago Splitter do with them?
He's the interim head coach.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, but like, I mean, the Trailblazers have been like, they've been very competitive. Drew Holiday's gonna play
the whole well. Chauncey thing, okay.
Right? Yeah, I just want to give them a quick shout out, because I mean, they've been staying above float. No, I mean,
a lot of nefarious activities going on there.
Yeah. So shout out to Tiago Splitter and them boys. I was shocked too when I saw that he was gonna be the interim head coach, but I mean, he even says it too. Like, he's like, my English is still like so bad. So like
you gotta draw every day.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So
I'll never forget him for that block LeBron got on him in the finals. I literally have that picture posted on my Instagram. Oh, it's literally one of the most memorable moments in my life.
Would you say, okay, hold on. What if you had to pick one? Like, what is the most memorable?
2016. The pride block? Tier. One specific.
Like, if you had to pick one basketball, one NBA moment that like you like sticks out in your mind, you remember where you were at, like everything. Vividly, what is it?
I mean, I guess just like when they won that, because that entire game, I remember it like.
Okay, I'll give you the.
It's not an NBA moment. The Olympics last year, 2024.
Okay.
The game against France, where Steph just went absolutely ballistic at the end. I was at work.
Mm-hmm.
Watching it on my phone, freaking out, and people are like,
"What is going on?
What is wrong?" And I was working at CarMax at the time, so I'm like walking around the lot, walking in between cars, just while trying to like look busy.
Yeah,
and like people are like, "What the heck?" And I was like, "I don't think y'all understand what's happening right now." One, not only have I never ever got to root for Steph Curry this way, but like the Avengers are like saving America.
God, that's funny.
It was amazing. That's I'll never
funny.
Forget that.
That's funny for me. I will never forget the Kawhi bounce. I remember exactly where I was. I was in my brother's apartment. I was on the phone with somebody who I'm not involved with anymore. And we're talking. And I see Kawhi get the ball, dribble out to the right wing, throw that thing up, and boom, boom.
That's a wrap.
Boom,
boom, and it drops it. Kawhi's going crazy. The whole country of Toronto's going crazy. Joel Embiid's crying. Ben Simmons just had, he's just lifeless. And the girl, I'm on the phone. She said, what's going on? Like, I literally was like, don't talk right now. I was like, I can't. Like, I literally said that because I was like, you don't understand what I just witnessed.
Literally.
Like, that was crazy. Crazy. Like, I remember that to this day. Like, every time I'm hooping or playing basketball or whatever, like, anytime I see that, I'm like, oh, you got the choir bounce. Like, bro, it's just crazy. Like, that was, that man led a whole country to the chip. And then he dipped. I still think Kawhi Leonard should have stayed in Toronto to this day.
Who knows what's going on with him?
The NBA got a lot of stuff going on they got to handle. But, okay, yeah, Lakers, man, we'll see. Have we spoke about Ja on here?
About who?
Ja.
About just like his this day with the Grizzlies?
I think we touched on it a little bit, right?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly don't know what's going on.
I think he's definitely gone from Memphis.
What if the Hawks and Grizzlies
swapped?
Yeah.
Would you like that?
I mean, if
you'd make a move?
I wouldn't like them where they're at now, and it's like basically.
So if you're Atlanta, you're done with the Trae Young experiment.
I think Trae Young should be done with the Atlanta
Hawks.
Would I trade Ja Morant for Trae Young?
Ooh. I would definitely do it in cases of both franchises. If I'm the front office, I think they're caliber of player. Just they play different styles.
Yeah, different style
completely. But I think
do you think Ja Morant can fit in with Zakari Richesse and Jalen Johnson and Onyeka Okongwu and them boys?
I feel like you kind of.
Dyson Daniel too.
You move some things around to like get the pieces around him that he needs.
Trae Young. Let's think about this. A Memphis led team with Trae Young, Jaren Jackson Jr., Zach Edey.
That would all work for sure.
Yeah, you got me thinking. I'm not mad.
That was just kind of my first immediately thought of like two point guards at least, because like you're not gonna be able to move on. You're not gonna be able to go to a franchise, obviously. Either one of them. Like you're going somewhere to be, like the franchise.
Well, see, here's the teams that I've heard, and you know, the Nets, because they got all the draft capital, they got the cap space.
They need a franchise guy.
They need it right.
Who else have I seen?
I've seen hesitantly. And I don't even know how this deal would work. I think you'd have to move Julius Randle, the Timberwolves. Or
for Ja Morant?
Yeah.
And him and Anthony Edwards in them?
That's right.
Well, I don't know about that.
Now, hold on. Are you saying on the court or off the court?
Both. I don't think it works there. I don't think off the court wouldn't work in the sense they're like they're just always gonna be in trouble. I don't even think they would like.
You don't think that team would gel well?
Yeah.
I mean, because Anthony Edwards, I mean, he's proven now he's one of the best shooters in the league. Man. So, you have space in there. You have space with Jaden McDaniels. Again, you would have to, I mean, either Rudy or, it would have to be Rudy, Julius, and Naz Reid. Like, he would have to, right?
You'd have to give up a lot.
Yeah. So, I don't see that happening. Although, I will say, I don't love Dante DiVincenzo running the point. I don't love that.
Me neither.
I think they need to get Rob Dillingham more involved to eventually be the lead point guard for Minnesota. I've also seen Miami, but I'm not going to lie. I'm not moving Bam. I'm not moving Tyler Definitely Hero.
Not. And I don't think Ja Morant, the Heat culture is too much of a.
Oh, yeah. If Ja Morant got traded to Miami,
yeah.
Pat Riley's bringing him in immediately. Yo.
And I don't think he's going to put his foot down. And I don't think Ja's going to respond well to that.
Well, maybe not. I don't know. Right. I don't know. Some would say that might be what he needs. Right. But if you're Miami, okay. Like, are you Andrew Wiggins?
Tyler Hero.
No, I'm not.
Oh, you're Tyler Hero. I was just naming people.
Andrew Wiggins, Jaime Jaquez, maybe. I like Jaime, though. I think
Miami. I give up Tyler before Jaime Jaquez.
You give up Tyler? Really?
Yeah.
Tyler Hero's ascending right now.
I thought Jaime Jaquez is younger and just like a.
Well, it's funny.
I feel like his potential is...
He was drafted... I thought he was drafted to replace Jimmy Butler. Then they traded Jimmy for Andrew Wiggins, and now things kind of got weird. No, if I'm Miami, I'm keeping Tyler. I'm keeping Jaime. I'm keeping Bam, obviously. I'm keeping Kel.
I mean, man, do you flip a Norman Powell, maybe? You know, they just traded for him recently. But again, like, you know, we're...
That's Tyler Herro. Has he played this season? Is he hurt?
I don't believe so. I'm not sure that I haven't been keeping up with Miami. I do know he's been balling, though. Like, last year he was balling. Tyler Herro's been ascending, bro. Like,
he hasn't played this year.
Really? I didn't know that.
Jaime Jaquez is averaging 17.
Yeah.
7 and 5.
I would give up Andrew Wiggins in a heartbeat.
But I mean, Ja Morant in Miami. Yeah, I don't know. And then, like, you know, there's Sacramento. Like, would you do a Ja Morant for a Zach LaVine? If I'm Memphis, like, we can talk. We can talk through that.
Yeah, there's definitely teams I'm open to discuss some things with.
Right. I mean, it's very evident Ja Morant, he's out of there. He wants out. I saw somewhere, like, it was when they fired Taylor Jenkins. That's when he really started to get upset. And I heard that. And I was like, well, duh. Like, Taylor Jenkins was the only man ever coming to bat for Ja Morant through all this. Right? Through all of it. Y'all fire him. You hire his assistant, Tomas. I can't even pronounce his last name. I'm not even going to try. But,
right.
Yeah, man. Ja Morant, it's very evident when he's not rocking with it. I think he's averaging, like, what, 17 right now? He's shooting abysmal from three.
He's never been the greatest shooter.
No, he hasn't been. I mean, it's a whole new low right now. It's like he worked hard to not be a good three-point shooter this season, man. I'm very interested to see how that whole saga plays out. Ja Morant for Trae Young, that would be interesting. Okay, real quick, I guess, why do you think Trae Young should be done with Atlanta?
Just because they haven't done enough to help him.
I mean...
I think he's one of the best point guards in the league, and
yeah,
in his part.
yeah. I don't know. You
think it'll just borderline like Damian Lillard territory, to where he's just playing, he's just stuck in the city, being one of the best point players at his position,
just stuck in
NBA Siberia.
Yeah.
Okay, fair. Hawks fans, y'all let us know if y'all agree with Lando on that one. But before we get on out of here, it is now time for What Say You. And obviously you can see I'm rocking my Michigan Christmas sweater. It is November 19th. And this begs the question, when does Christmas actually start? Because for a lot of people, November 1st,
yep,
that is when Christmas starts. Lando disagrees with that.
Oh, wholeheartedly. For me, Christmas starts Black Friday.
Okay, so next Friday.
The day after Thanksgiving,
yes.
When they put all those deals out, I don't really use them. I just get gifts, whatever.
I'm gearing up. I'm about to get like all my gifts.
Thanksgiving is a holiday as well. Yes. Obviously, the origins of it, all that is what it is. But the tradition that we've come to know as a society,
yeah,
is a thing.
Yeah.
Obviously some people may not celebrate, but to me, with my family, we have Thanksgiving every year. Family comes over, we eat,
watch football,
watch the Cowboys.
Fall into food comas.
I mean, that's the thing. And it's a whole separate just celebration than Christmas. Mm-hmm. Like the vibes are similar, but Christmas is this whole conglomerate in itself.
Yes.
That I think deserve. And Christmas is my favorite holiday by far. My birthday is 2 days before Christmas. I love the entire holiday, the entire just spirit around the month of December itself.
But yeah, yeah.
I think that doesn't begin until Thanksgiving ends.
Right. I hear you. I don't disagree with you. I will say though, like, because I love Christmas as well, I do get into the Christmas spirit like very early. Now I'm also the type of person, like, I'm type A, so I'm talking about I've had a list of, you know, gifts I'm getting for folks, mm-hmm, like early October. You know what I'm saying? And to be fair, like, Christmas is shoved down our throats.
Yeah, that too.
In October, you go to Walmart and they already got the Christmas section up.
Oh, trust me. Like, I know.
You know what I'm saying? So
Christmas is like shoved down our throats. TV, billboards, stores you go to, like everywhere. Christmas.
They actually do it now to where the Halloween stuff, like Christmas stuff starts coming up around Halloween. The Halloween stuff, by the time Halloween actually comes, they're pushing that stuff out to get the new Christmas stuff in.
Yeah, bro, exactly. So it's almost like you're forced into it, man. Like, because they're not pushing Thanksgiving. They're not pushing the fall.
There's no like capitalistic game behind that. There's no gifts behind it. There's no like.
They're not pushing the buy one free turkeys.
There's not whatchamacallit, like a Thanksgiving tree.
Money's a huge factor.
They're not gonna push Thanksgiving at all. They're going straight to Christmas, and I think they give people that time to breathe.
Let Thanksgiving breathe.
Yeah.
Let Thanksgiving breathe. Lando says, well, on that note. It is a wrap on this episode of Birds at the Rodeo. I'm Eric, the resident Eagles fan.
I'm Orlando, the resident Cowboys fan.
And what say you, man? When does Christmas start for y'all? Is it Black Friday, like Lando said? Is it October or November 1st, excuse me? Is it earlier for you? Are you Christmas 24/7? Let us know.
Do those fall leaves turn and then you start getting snuggled up in with your cocoa and your Christmas music? I mean, you let us
Movies,
know.
All that jam, all that jazz. Yeah, man, what say you? Eagles fans, again, where are y'all at, man? Y'all let me know, like, should I not feel conflicted about this? Or are these ugly wins going to pay off in the end? Y'all let me know. Cowboys fans.
Let us know how happy y'all are to have Quentin Williams, Logan Wilson, Siobhan, just an improved defense.
Yeah.
Because even if they they don't replicate what they did exactly in the Raiders game, it's just quite literally impossible that they don't improve from what they were.
Yep.
So let us know how y'all feel about that.
Right. Let us know if you feel like Jamar Chase got off too easy or maybe he got the just amount of right of punishment. Who do y'all got for midseason MVP? Is it Drake May? Is it Matthew Stafford? Is it Jonathan Taylor? You got somebody else in the mix that's a dark horse that we didn't talk about? Let us know. Lakers fans, how y'all feeling, man? Are y'all going to make a run in the West? Can y'all beat the Thunder? Can LeBron really ingratiate himself in this number two role? Stay tuned. We'll find out. Please keep liking, commenting, subscribing.
Sharing. Let us know.
Everything.
I mean, like we said, leave those comments. Let us know how y'all feel about everything. And just keep giving us that support, man. Like, as we say this all the time, we do this for y'all. And we're excited to keep bringing y'all this content, man.
Yep. And, like Lando said, man, thank y'all for all the support. Holiday season is here. It's around the corner. So start thinking about what y'all want for Christmas, man. I put a poll out on my IG. I just want people to like be straight. Tell me what you want for Christmas. I'm not saying I'll get it for you, but somebody might.
I think it's me personally. I don't even really know what I want for Christmas. A big part of it.
You know what I said?
What?
I flat out. I just said, look, if I'm even remotely, and I'm looking in the camera when I say this, I know people watch. If I'm remotely on your Christmas list, I just want one of three things: a new pair of headphones, over the ear headphones. I was suggested the Sony XR4, I believe. Those are the best ones, I was told by Braden at the airport yesterday. Shout out to Braden for giving me that gem. Donate to the podcast. When I say donate to the podcast, you could give us money. You could give us equipment, whatever equipment you think could help us. You could give us more stuff to hang up in the studio, make it look more aesthetically pleasing, whatever. Whatever that means to you when you hear donate to the podcast. Legit.
That's a great gift.
Legit. I said clothes, like certain hoodies that you know that I want. Like I still want that Love Hurts hoodie that Jalen Hurts and Jordan came out with at the Super Bowl, and they got like a green colorway for it now. So I'm like, oh, I definitely need to get that. And or a record player, like legit. That's it. And they say us men are hard to buy gifts for. I just gave it to you straight. Okay, I just gave it to you straight. But Lando's going to keep thinking about what he wants for Christmas.
Right.
And until next week, peace.
Later.